Are you ready for this?
Sean Merriman, a one-hand sack. Boom, 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 out go the lights.
This is Lights Out with Sean Merriman.
What's up, guys? We're back again with another Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman, and we got a special one for you guys. Joey Logano, NASCAR, man, he's been on fire. And the first thing that I think about when, you know, someone's on fire and they got a bunch of stuff going on, because me being a former athlete in the NFL, it's like having a 3 or 4 sack game. You know, I'm trying to get as many interviews as I can. I'm busy. I can't get to it. But, you know, Joey was cool enough to come on and just talk about his next upcoming races, man. He locked everything down with that big win in Kansas. We start talking about a lot of things, man. COVID, what he's done with his foundation and the money he's raised and donated. Also, you know, his mindset going into the next 3 races. You know, obviously he's locked in already, and now they get a chance to try some new things on the track and just breaking it down. Also, man, does he have a MMA fighting career? You know, Joey Logano is one of the ones who, when I've been at the track and I've been sitting up in the suites and I'm on the way down and I start to see commotion down on the track, and sure enough, it's Joey scrapping a little bit. So we get a chance to talk about that. But great dude, Joey Logano. Joey, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Doing great. Yourself?
I'm good, man. So, you know, I was just telling Vito, my guy here, before we got on, I said, I don't know if we're going to be able to get Joey on. He's too hot right now, man. I don't know if you want to talk to the smaller people in life, you know?
Nah, I don't know about all that. I just keep doing my job. That's all I can ask for. And, you know, it's nice to get that win last week and help set us up for that championship. That's what we're going for.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about, because, you know, I was just saying that before all this COVID stuff happened, I would get a chance to come to, you know, about 6 or 7 tracks at least a year, right? And I'll always go to the big, you know, Daytona and the big stuff, whatever, and head down to Alabama. And I'll try to catch a couple of them, but I haven't been able to go this year. And normally I'm like, okay, cool. I'm in the pits. I see what's going on. But you don't get the, like, watching it on TV and actually being there, man. It's two total different things, in my opinion. Like, when you're there and you see it, it's a whole different feeling.
100%. There's nothing like, you know, 40 cars going 200 miles an hour blowing by you. You know, it's just a crazy feeling. And, you know, when you're inside the car, and I've done this for, you know, 13 years now or so, that you kind of get used to what that is. But every now and again, I still get to get out and watch maybe an Xfinity race or something like that. And I watch them all go blowing by the first time. Like, golly, they're going fast. You know, like, it is.
But, you know, that's crazy for you to say, because that's what got me into, like, NASCAR a long time ago. So back when I was playing with the Chargers, they had me out to be a grand marshal of the Fontana races. And, you know, I grew up in Maryland, Washington, D.C. area. So you don't get a chance to see, like, what's actually at the track until you get into the pits. I was waving that damn green flag over and damn near dropped it because my hands were so sweaty and I was nervous. And you get that, you know, those 10 or 15 seconds to watch the pit crew and stuff. And then you smell the rubber. It's for me, coming from football, you become like a adrenaline junkie to what's going on.
Of course. Right. I mean, I think it's like that just as athletes, and you love competition. Right. Like, it's the same for me. Like, yeah, I don't go to many football games, and you're always so focused on the sport that you're working in at the moment. But you still love and appreciate the competition aspect and the preparation and everything that goes into it, because anything at the professional level takes so much more than talent. You know, talent only takes you to that level, maybe. But it's the hard work that really makes it the difference throughout it. And so I've learned to just absolutely love other sports, because I like to see how other people prepare, you know, what that looks like mentally, physically, all that stuff is really intriguing for me.
No doubt about it. And it's kind of crazy, because I try to find a correlation between what I did on the field and playing football in the NFL. And then now, you know, being around NASCAR really for like the last, you know, 12 or 13 years, and as much of a team as any, and your team prepped this track. You know what I mean? This last one, I was, you know, kind of reading a little bit, and I was trying to explain to, like, people who don't know how big the team is and how they got you prepared for this last race.
Yeah. I mean, the team is huge. You know, there's close to 400 employees working at Team Penske building race cars, which to me is crazy. You know, you're building cars from absolutely nothing, from a steel rack all the way to what you see on the racetrack. So obviously it takes a big team to do that. And you have to start preparing a long ways out in developing those cars and trying to get that many people to work all on the same page. And you have so many, you know, one thing that's cool about racing is that you have all these different departments. There's engineering, there's manufacturing, there's athletic, there's transportation, you know, there's marketing. There's so many different things that play into what makes a race team. And so when you see all that come together on the racetrack to see that final product, is big, right? And then when you're able to put it all together, like we did last weekend in Kansas, where, you know, our car was a little bit off the start, we make some adjustments, we get better, we have the right strategy, it gets us track position, we come down pit road late in the race, and the boys knock out an amazing pit stop, which puts us in the lead, and then you hold them off to the end, you know, that is the total team effort all the way through to make it happen.
It's crazy. And talk about strategy and, you know, maybe the weather and whatever it was, you know, kind of played a part of it. You know, I try to really explain to guys with the air, how the air quality is, what's in front of you and how that changes, you know, basically how the race is going to go and how that affects you guys. And that was also like a big part at the end, too, that played a big part in this last race.
Oh, for sure. You know, when the track temperature is cool, like it was in Kansas, you know, it was 40 degrees. It was freezing. You know, the cars make a lot more power, but there's also a lot more grip in the tire and in the racetrack. And so when you have that, sometimes you can put two tires on the car instead of putting four tires on during the pit stop. Well, that's half the time. You know, if you think about that, how much track position is that, you know, to get you closer to the front of the field? And, you know, are you paying that much of a penalty for only having two tires on the car? You know, those are some of the decisions you got to make. And then also just getting to the front, we've got what we call clean air, you know, you have air that's on the front of your car. It makes a ton of downforce. Imagine when you're driving down the highway and you get behind a tractor trailer, you know, you're only going 65 or 70, or that's what you should be doing at least. And, you know, you can feel the car buffer a little bit. Imagine if you were on the edge of crashing and that wind moved your car a little bit. That's what we deal with out there. So being closer to the front is cleaner air, which also makes your car drive better.
100%. And so I was talking about the amount of times and tracks I would go to a year. But in the start of COVID, right, when everything first happened and you guys, because one of my best things about going to the track is, for one, I show up, you know, I'm at the driver meetings. You know, I get a chance to go to some of the team owner meetings and sit up and we, you know, kind of talk shop and stuff like that. But it's being there at the track to watch the cars being pushed through inspection. I mean, I'm rolling my sleeve. I didn't have to roll my sleeves up and help push cars like down the aisle. And people looking at me like, holy shit, is that Sean Merriman over there like pushing cars and say, yeah, dude, you know, I'm having all these damn muscles for no reason. Somebody going to let me just kind of staying over there. So how was that early on, man, when you guys wasn't able to have fans and have the normal situation there at the track?
It's been very challenging. All of it's been challenging, right? For everybody, COVID has presented a new challenge for everybody. No matter what industry you work in, it's definitely changed the game at one point or another. So, you know, NASCAR has tried to find new ways to get back at the race as soon as possible, which, you know, we were as aggressive as any other sport, more aggressive than any other sport. We were the first ones back. That's a lot of risk to do that, Greg, because it goes wrong, the black guy's on us. But, you know, being the first back also presented a great opportunity of being the only sport on TV and having no competition. Because as of now, or at least the last few weeks, almost every sport was going at the same time. That's a lot of competition to get eyeballs to watch what you're doing on the racetrack. So we took advantage of that opportunity to try to grow our sport. And I say it was worth it. We did it. Now, at the same time, it was hard not having fans at the racetrack and not having practice and not having qualifying and having people around and even visiting your team. You know, I don't see my team as much as I'd like to, and right, the team building outings and all the things that we're used to doing. You know, we used to do all that stuff just like a football team would, right? The way you guys all can band together. Those opportunities aren't there anymore at the moment. And, you know, so that's tough. And then also just the fans, you feed off their energy at the racetrack. You know, when driver intros rolls around and fans are cheering or booing, you know, even if they're booing, right, you know, as you go to an away game and they boo you, you'd feed off that more than they do in the cheeriest sometimes, right? Because it's just like, I'm going to show you, right? Like that's how it was. And our first race back, we had no fans and it was so quiet that you can hear the rocks coming off the tires when they're rolling the cars out. And I'm like, oh, this is just really weird. And so I'm glad now that we're getting some fans back at some capacity, depending on the track that we go to, where even if it's 30% capacity, you'd be amazed at how much noise they can make.
100%. And while we're talking about COVID, man, you have done a ton of things with your foundation with COVID, donating and raising a bunch of money. Just talk a little bit about that, man, because I know I was reading on it, but I didn't know the amount you guys have raised and what you've been doing. I was like, oh yeah, Joey Logano's been doing some stuff, raised some money with COVID. And I'm like, hold on, one point what? So yeah, talk a little bit about that, what you guys been doing.
Yeah, so we started, you know, during this and when this started, you know, I was listening. I go to Elevation Church here in Charlotte, and our pastor said something that really kind of hit home for me. He said that we're all in the same sea, but we're in different boats, meaning that we're all going through COVID, but we all can weather the storm in different ways, and some better than others. And, you know, it's important for us to lend a helping hand where we can. And obviously, we're outside of the race car, we're not working, we're not doing it. Oh, we got to help out. Let's do something. So we put together $1 million COVID-19 response and recovery fund. And I couldn't believe how much need there was. There's a real hunger crisis in our country. You know, we don't really think about that a lot of times. You know, we live in our own little bubble and do our thing and don't think about it. But when you take a second to step back and see what the challenges that people were fighting with their kids just not going to school, being laid off of work, or even when homeschooling starts and you don't have internet, how's your kids going to go to school these days, right? There was so many things, PPE, you know, stuff for in first responders and people risking their life, not knowing what COVID-19 was about at all, right, at the moment. So, I mean, it's just so many, you know, ways that we were able to help that. Boy, we blew through that money really quick. but it was also really cool to see, you know, this year with all the challenges that were there, we've raised more money with the Joey Logano Foundation than ever before, and also donated way more money than what we have. So this has been a very successful year, and great to see people's hearts really show up in these type of moments. You know, when it's the hardest to give, right? It's kind of easy to give when things are going better than you expect, but when they're going worse than you expect, it takes real faith to do that.
And you guys do much more than that, obviously, because of COVID right now is a priority, right? I mean, that's where people are struggling with the most. But you guys have done a ton of work with your foundation. And what's next? You know, COVID obviously is going to be here for a little bit. I mean, anything in the works, plans?
Yeah. We got other stuff going on. And typically our mission is to give second chances to children and young adults in times of crisis. So a lot of kids that need role models in their life, right? Need a little helping hand. They need a second chance. They've made some mistakes in the past. And hey, I know from at least my career, I made a lot of mistakes early in my career and I got a second chance and I know what I did different. And I couldn't imagine what that's like for anybody else, right? So we want to try to give these kids a second chance, kids that are aging out of the foster care system that are going to be, you know, adults and they're going to have to live with the real world type of scenarios. And that's hard. You know, it was hard for me and I had a great family, right? And just imagine what that's like for some of these kids. So trying to set them up for, you know, the simple things that maybe we take for granted are the biggest things. So, you know, throughout the playoffs, we actually did a campaign called Believe 22 and, you know, setting off a way to kind of show these kids that we believe in them, because sometimes that's all it takes. And we've been giving $22,000 a weekend over the last 10 weeks to organizations that help support these kids. So we wanted to make sure we didn't forget about these organizations, because as much stuff that's going on with COVID-19, the organizations that they needed the money before COVID-19 to do this stuff.
Right.
How much harder it is to get now. So we wanted to make sure we stuck true to our mission as well.
That's awesome, man. And people don't know the schedule. I mean, you know, obviously if you're in the NASCAR circuit, you're a fan, you know the schedule, but people don't understand the schedule and the roads travel. And I mean, I've been there as late on the track as past midnight and helping guys break stuff down before they, you know, get in the truck and haul something else. So how you even find time to do that, man, is just incredible. Just real quick before, because I know you got to go in a couple minutes. You got a couple races left. You got a Texas Speedway this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Martinsville, and I think Phoenix.
Yep.
So I don't think I've been to Martinsville. I've been to Texas Speedway in Phoenix. What's the mindset, man, going into this weekend? Because you're damn close, and you know you've been just on fire lately.
Yeah, the nice part is with that win from Kansas, it's got us locked into the championship round at Phoenix. Yep. So whatever happens in the next 2 weeks, to be honest with you, doesn't really matter. We go there to win, obviously. We want to keep momentum. You know momentum is real in sports. We want to keep that momentum up that we have, especially going into the championship round when we get to Phoenix. But it also presents an opportunity to try a lot of new things that we would be a little timid of trying at our race car, or be more aggressive with our race strategy and kind of go for broke or all or nothing. And you know, we can't finish worse than fourth in points. We know that. And we have a chance, better chance really than anybody at this moment to win the championship. So right now it's about keeping momentum, try a few new things while we can, and get ready for, you know, what can be next year when we go to Texas.
Awesome, my man. And so the last thing I'll leave you with, because you're one of my favorite guys, not just because what you do on the track, but off of it. You know how many times I've been there at the track and I've seen you scrapped or almost scrapped? And that was one of my favorite things. I look at guys in other sports, right? I'm like, damn, he might be a good fighter. You know, even when I was playing in football, I'm like, man, that dude will be a hell of an MMA fighter. And when I see you, you're always smiling, but I've been up in the suites and I've, you know, on my way down to the pit, and they're like, yo, Joey's down, he's about to scrap. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to miss this.
It's the size of my arms is what it was, huh? That's how you know. Hey, there's intensity. That intensity is key. You got to have that in sports. And it's also important to shut that part off. Maybe at some point when I get out of the car, it might be a good idea. But hey, when there's a little passion there, it's important to have that.
That's what I'm going to call it, man, passion. Yeah, well, right. I appreciate it, man. You know, good luck the rest of the season and going into the next seven playoffs, man. And you guys, you've been killing it. You know, I appreciate everything you've done for the people in COVID and busy schedule. And I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Another great episode on the Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman. Joey, man, Joey Logano, he's on fire right now. And, you know, one thing about him is I've always seen him smile and always had something great and positive to say, done a bunch in his community, raising money for COVID. And he has a great mindset. He's feeling good going into these last few races. This weekend at the Texas Speedway, wish him a lot of luck. Even though he didn't need it, he's locked in. But look forward to some great things out of him. And it was an awesome interview. And thank you guys again for listening to another episode with me, Sean Merriman, on the Lights Out podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Give us great reviews. You've already been giving us great reviews, so I appreciate that. But keep leaving great reviews and keep tuning in. We're going to keep going up and keep doing great things. Appreciate it.